Good morning. Today is Friday, March the 13th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt Bay Fire Chief, Mr. Sean. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How you been?
Pretty good.
Good. It sounds like you don't have much ash on you today.
No ash today, nope.
Way to go. Starting out is a good day.
Yes.
Oh, are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Always.
Really?
Always ready to be stumped and learn something new.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can get... There was a couple of these that were I kind of had teased earlier in the week, and then yesterday Maggie chose her own.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
Did you give her options, or she picked
them? No. She took care of it. All right. Oats. Why do we say a youth who's acting and is acting out is feeling his oats or sowing his wild oats? Have you heard of that one before?
I have heard that one many times.
Okay. Any clue?
I don't know exactly, but it's either because oats was a staple of diet earlier. I'm getting a sense that there's no. Or sowing wild oats was a crop or something.
Ah, now you're getting closer.
Okay.
It's because feeding oats to a horse makes him lively. When a horse begins to prance around, he's feeling his oats.
Really?
And when he finds wild oats in the pasture and eats them, and then feeling these oats starts jumping around, he literally, as well as figuratively, will be sowing his wild oats.
So it's...
It's like, it's what it says.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's kind of a stunner. We sneak one of those in, unsuspecting every once in a while.
So it's more about the horse applied to the human. And
yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I could have put you on the spot, which was one of those phrases, but we'll save that one for next week.
Oh, I better Google that.
Yeah.
I got to get one of these one time.
Yeah. Yeah, we're only halfway through the alphabet, so you got at least another year and a half before.
Out of the 100 times you've been asked this, how many did you get? Zero. Oh, that's not good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Donut. All right.
Perfection.
Yeah.
Last Friday, you guys had a little bit of a fun event.
We did.
For the Fireman's Memorial. Let's talk about the fundraising, and then we'll talk about the memorial itself, for those that may have missed the show a couple months ago when Amy was talking about it. You guys and gals in fire and support often, I guess nostalgically, culturally, have fundraisers.
Yes.
But normally there's volunteer in the phrase blank fire department.
Right.
This one, not so much so.
Yeah,
which I suspect probably put a big question mark on it. You know, how is the community going to respond to a paid staff's fundraising event? What were you guys' thoughts and expectations going into this thing?
That's a good question. I guess I'd start early in your question with volunteer fire departments and fundraising, and like you said, it's because their revenue is either non-existent or poultry, so they have to have pancake breakfasts and bake sales to raise money to buy new turnout gear and fuel for their truck, kind of a thing. But I think this is different in that one, it's been spearheaded by our honor guard and our firefighter union, so we are working with the city of Eureka and the Clark Museum to dedicate it, but essentially it's an effort that the JPA funds aren't going to go towards, because that's not what those funds are for.
Those are pretty much designated, aren't they?
Yeah.
For certain applications.
Yeah, we obviously have a set budget, and we don't want to grant funds, so to speak, or gift them. So that this just falls outside of that. Obviously, it's something really important to us as an organization, and I think it's important to the city as well. So I've actually not heard of anybody having an issue with us having fundraising towards this particular thing. It's just, I think it's a really special dedication and an important thing to remember.
Well, it's novel.
Yeah, and for Eureka, I think history and even for the whole United States, history is an important part of our culture, and honoring and remembering things is important.
Is this, do you sense, the first of others? I know when Kent Hobart was part of the crew,
right,
he was getting excited about some of the historical, the firehouses or the hose company buildings and things of that nature that are still, they may have been repurposed,
right,
but the structure is still here.
Yes.
Which is kind of halfway rare for a community of our age to have some of the founding buildings still here.
Yeah. And another icon we have is our steamer, which still is operational, and I think it's one of six in the whole state. So that's a pretty rare as well. As to whether this is going to, you know, start, is the start of something, I think we've had an awareness of that and the ability to do something. I certainly am very interested in renovating and reinvigorating our Station 6, which is part of a nonprofit called the Sequoia Firehouse Station 6. And they do a lot of fundraising.
That's the one on J Street?
On J Street, right near the high school. They've done a lot of work with foundations and plumbing, and it needs new paint. And it's become a museum for us. And I think what this emphasizes for me is sharing that history more with the community. So I can see us having some kind of an open house event, and maybe a driver to raise more funds just to paint and to do some basic maintenance. So, yeah, I think in that way it might start us just looking at things a little differently and not using the community, but just engaging the community more in the history of their fire department.
That's what I was saying. It gives not only the educational component, but also the opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of folks, you know, you see a truck go screaming by.
Right.
With the sirens, you know, you're not going to say, hey guys,
yeah,
I mean, they're going somewhere and doing something.
Right.
And you don't want to interrupt anybody at the fire station because you never know what's going on,
yeah,
you know, outside looking in. So I would suspect that this is an opportunity for those of us outside to be able to feel like we're helping out a little bit.
Yeah, and I think people would be pretty amazed at what we have in that fire station and just the history behind it, and having some of our old firefighters come and tell stories would be pretty incredible.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humble Bay Fire Chief Sean Robertson. Sean, with the fundraiser itself, my sense was that it was a coming together of a lot of folks. It wasn't just fire guys.
No, it was a...
And it wasn't just, you know, cops supporting the guys across the street or other fire people. That there was, outside the service,
yes,
a lot of interest in this. Do you think it was coming from fire support or support of local history? What kind of sense have you had talking with the troops? What was the feedback? Or was it just a fun time to show up and have some spaghetti?
I think it was a bit of both. I think it was a great event. I think people are genuinely interested in the memorial and also in the story behind it, because, I mean, that in and of itself is the real special important thing. And recognizing that history over the history of Eureka is, you know, I think it's a really foundational connection for people. What I really like about the whole thing is where it started was first recognizing the six who died and then putting them on the memorial wall in Sacramento for the California memorial there. And so that just kind of established that memory and built the story. And so now being able to apply it locally in a place where people can go.
Yeah, why not here?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Are you, disappointed might be too strong of a word, but I'll use it. Disappointed that the old police station just has the rock with a plaque and there's weeds growing around it. You know, it's a block or two away from where the fireman memorial is going to be. And you just kind of look at it and go, you know, we should do something better. Do you think that the fireman memorial is going to maybe start the ball rolling with some of the historical designations in the area, more than just the brass plaque? You know, this is the Smith Building, and it was built in this year, but the story behind some of these?
Maybe.
It'd be kind of cool if it did.
Yeah, I think on the fire side, we have a lot of history, unfortunately, with honoring those who are lost. Myself, I've been to the National Fire Academy several times, and the firefighter memorial there is iconic. You know, it's where national events are held. There's memorials multiple times a year, not just on Patriot Day, 9/11. There's a ginormous brass statue of the famous picture of the raising of the flag at when the two towers fell. So that iconography, if you like, is a part of our history. And I don't think it's just in the United States. I think it's across the world. And as I'm talking, I remember we did a tour of Gettysburg, and there's actually a statue there on one of the battlefields commemorating firefighters, because there was a whole brigade or platoon of firefighters from New York State that had come out for the battle, and they were firefighters. So the statue is of this brotherhood between a soldier and a firefighter.
That's got to be kind of cool.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of our history. So for us, the boots and the helmet is kind of, you know, this is your work clothing. This is what you wore every day to go to deliver service. So that's a big part of us and what we do.
As you look around, I've been told that every firefighter has got three or four major events.
Right.
That's what you remember from your career, yes. Other than the buddies and, you know, I mean, the regular stuff. But everybody has a couple of, whether they're signature events or whatever they may happen to be.
Yeah.
Eureka certainly has had its history.
Yeah.
Of some of those. You know, I can remember maybe three or four. Okay. Is there any cataloging of that information or designation? I mean, it's not really a historical site. You know, let's say the old Globe Imports. Well, right. Okay. Maybe putting something in the sidewalk. You know, not like a Hollywood star, but
yeah.
Some kind of something or another, just to, I guess, maybe educate people about the history of our area, whether you grew up here or whether you were a transplant here.
That's a really good question. No, there's nothing like that. Our record is more incident-based. But I think that would be an important part of the history. For me personally, I can drive around the city, and every other block I'm looking at, you know, places that have burned down or have burned. And the really disturbing thing for me is if those lots are still vacant.
Yeah.
Like 3rd and G Street. I mean, that was a momentous event in my career, because...
A big turnout from the town, too.
Well, yeah. We burned
yeah. You know, I mean, a lot of folks were there.
A bit of a block of old town burned down. And I think I got there at 9:30, and I remember sitting on the sidewalk after the sun came up. So it was a long event. But that's still undeveloped. And there's a lot of other locations around town that I'd like to see developed, but I know that's a process. But I really like your idea of memorializing some of those events and then recognizing, you know, the recovery from it.
Yeah, just kind of the subtle recognition of some of them. Yeah, for me, the old Humble Beer, Humble Brewing, or Humble Paint Factory, I think is what it was when it went. Okay, I remember that one, too. That was kind of a big one.
Yeah.
You know, and those types of things, just to so we don't lose it.
Yes.
I guess. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson from Humboldt Bay Fire. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Sean, as you look at the memorial as you envision it, certainly there'll be changes. But if you look historically, pick a spot where you're looking at 3rd and F, okay,
right.
And look down towards that area. Things have changed.
Yes.
You stand there at 3rd and E and you look at it. And you know, yeah, things have changed. 3rd and D looking back up the other way. Yeah, things have changed. You know, we've got some of the old postcards and those old pictures, so you can kind of see some of those changes. What do you think is going to be the biggest surprise for people, the biggest takeaway when this memorial is in place and things are completed? Let's call it phase one.
Right.
Of Humboldt Bay Fire historical renovation.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's a really good question.
What do you want them to take away?
I think what we want them to take away is just the sacrifice and the history of the firefighters in Eureka, essentially, that there were. This has been there as long as the city and the area's been what it is now, I guess, so to speak. So it's an important part of that. And
now, it's not going to change the feeling of, well, I guess it will change the feeling. It's not going to replace the park that's there. It's just going to be a little something on the corner.
Right. If you're standing in the park facing the bay, there's a Diaz on the left side, a little circle. It's a raised circle, and part of the plan or design is to have our memorial be somewhat portable if that site changes. And all that means is the pedestal will be stonework, and that'll just be bolted into place. And the brass statue, if you like, on top of that, they'll be modular so that if something really changed, we could just move it, that site would be renovated, and we can reinstall it.
Big old heavy crane could pick it up.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Kind of like McKinley?
Kind of like the other figurine.
We don't have too many statues around here to use as reference.
No, we don't.
Well, hopefully it'll stay longer than what McKinley did.
Yeah.
Give yourself 150 years and we'll see where it is.
Yes. Hopefully it'll still be there.
Oh. I would think that when you guys give the tours to the school kids or to the community members or the open houses, that history really is something that a lot of people are intrigued by.
Right.
Do you get a chance to, or do the troops get a chance to really sell the story and share the experiences, whether it's out here in the Myrtletown area and what that meant, or in Henderson Center, or just even the district or the downtown? Are they interested in that kind of stuff when they show up?
I think the troops are interested, the public's interested. The interesting part for me is that because a lot of our personnel are younger and often not from this area, they're more educated by people coming and talking to them. then they are educating people in the community.
Sure, having a story shared with them.
Exactly. A classic case for me is when we have our open house, a lot of folks come by and we'll talk about the history because we have our steamer out or our old pumpers. We had an open house of Station 4 a couple years ago. And
all right, for those of us that can't count to four.
It's on Myrtle and Myrtle and West, more or less.
The cemetery.
Yes, by the cemetery. Okay. And a gentleman who lives up the street came by and visited, and he gave us a great history of that area and its relation to the cemetery. And he actually brought us a black and white picture that showed the fire station and the rest of the block was more or less undeveloped. There was maybe two other houses on that entire block.
The gas station across the street?
Yeah.
Or did it predate the gas station?
I think it predated the gas station. It was just great to have that conversation with him. And so often that's a great way for us to engage and learn more about our history too. And then I see our crews becoming very interested in that, and then they're able to share that with school tours or other things that they do.
I would think because of the purple passion, I mean, that's what the job's all about, right?
Right.
Okay, well, that's part of the passion.
Yeah.
And having that history and being able to share that.
Yeah, I think that's an important part of this job is recognizing the past. And we talk about, a brother and sisterhood because the job is perilous and we live together. And so it's a really different thing. But recognizing what came before is an important part of that culture.
Let me ask you a question that is kind of goofy. It just obviously popped into my head. What was the largest fire that you can, not experience, but that you are aware of in Eureka? I think, in the old days, there were a lot of really tall Victorians.
Right.
And there must have been some event, sometime, maybe not a whole block, but three or four of those large, magnificent structures, probably in the commercial district, all being engaged at the same time. Is there any history along those lines other than the hotel, at Third and E?
I can't think of anything bigger than that, or the Lazio's fire or Globe Imports, and those are more recent. I don't know of anything bigger than that, and maybe that's a result of, one, my ignorance, and two, what you referred to earlier is our lack of record keeping of those events in a historical way so that we can pass that.
You have things like the 1880s, 1890s, yeah, when some of those larger early buildings were still around.
Yeah.
Not all of them fell down or got knocked down. All right, well, I can see your eyes are rolling back. It better be a break time, huh?
No, yeah. I'm thinking I need to do some research.
There you go. Yeah. See, just when you thought you didn't have anything to do today.
Add it to the list.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Chief Sean. Obviously, we shouldn't go through a whole show without talking about health and safety.
Right.
Precautions, things to do to help spread flu, cold, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Are the troops seeing anything different other than maybe a general increase of awareness?
No, that's more or less what they're seeing, is just people asking questions and being a little bit concerned. And, like you just said, we just communicate the same basic hygiene practices and try to calm everyone, and that's what the feedback I'm getting is.
I suppose that's part of taking care of business.
Yeah.
It's what you guys do, in the medical response side of things.
Right.
Yeah. Way to go, man. Well, at least you don't have to learn new lines, right?
That's right. Maybe the, you know, wherever you traveled recently, that's a little new for us to ask. But
yeah, I would think. Yeah, but I believe that's one of the reasons why so many of the smaller communities are not dealing with it to the same extent.
Yeah.
We just don't have that many people traveling out of the area on a regular basis, just total volume.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But I understand they got really cheap airfare.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I got something lined up for a week and a half from now, and it's like, do I go? Do I not go?
Yeah, I think everybody's in that boat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the, you know, the collateral effect that I think is going to affect way more people than the actual pandemic. It's just the interruption of your life and the things you like to do. What I'm getting more and more concerned about locally is the economic effect on businesses.
They just kind of keep doing what you did.
Yeah, but just like, for example, restaurants. I spoke to a restaurant owner yesterday. He's very concerned because, you know, he's already seeing a lack of
some change
of people coming out.
And, yeah.
And if we're talking about this going on for months, then, I mean, that's really going to have a significant effect.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's hysteria surrounding it.
Yeah, so get out there and go buy a gift card at your favorite restaurant, and you can use it, you know, whenever you want.
Yeah, just keep doing what we do.
Yes.
I think that's probably, except pay attention to where your hands are.
Yep.
You know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, if you feel sicky, don't go to work.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like you said, just the normal things that you're supposed to do, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think suck it up and come to work sick is a good model to use right now.
No, it's not.
Even if you're a fireman.
Even if you're a firefighter, yep.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See you Brady tomorrow morning.